Hello, welcome to Inside the Cylinder. We're your Detroit Pistons show here via Almighty Baller, now a part of Dash Radio. We're excited to bring you the best Pistons coverage on the airwaves. Ways to follow. You can listen to us on Dash Radio on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and if you listen on iTunes, please rate and review. You can follow us on Twitter at Inside the Cylinder. On this week's episode, we have a very special guest, Braylon Rayson, former Central Michigan University point guard and future pro. He's entering the NBA draft. We'll be discussing his college recruitment and career, pre-NBA draft plans, and upcoming pro career. If you're new to the show, I'm Joey Mack, joined as always by my co-host, David Fernandez.
Hello all, welcome to this week's episode. Super excited to be joined by Braylon Rayson, the number three all-time scorer on Central Michigan University's D1 team there. And yeah, really excited, like I said, so let's get right into it. Inside the Cylinder fans, welcome to another episode. We are excited to be joined by our guest, Braylon Rayson. You may know him from starring at Central Michigan University. He played in the dynamic duo that averaged 50-plus points per game alongside Marcus Keene. He's joining us to talk a bit more about his college career, next steps into the pro game. You can follow him on Twitter at @B_Rayson2. And on Instagram at _KingRayson, and the S is spelled with a 2. Hey, Braylon, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Quick question, number 2. Why number 2, and how long have you had that number?
I chose number 2 because, I mean, I had that number, you know, almost all of my life. And I just like the number 2. I used to be number 3 when I was real small because of Allen Iverson. But I decided that I want to do something different. I want to be my own person. You know, I want everybody to wear number 2 because of me. So that's why I chose to become
number 2 and like number 4, like two of my favorite like point guard numbers. I don't know why. They're just like, yeah, I think that's kind of part of it because you don't really think of a player when you think of number 2 yet. Like that's still kind of like an unmarked number.
Yeah, that's why I like it. I love it like that.
Playing out of Mesquite, Texas. That's, you know, where you're from, right next to Dallas, Texas. You know, kind of had options to move around, for college hoops, but you chose Central Michigan. You know, first of all, you know, why Central Michigan over some of the other schools? What was it about, you know, maybe Keno Davis or really anything that kind of made you decide to move up to Mount Pleasant, Michigan?
I chose CMU because, I mean, I feel like that was an underrated university, and I feel like I love the play style they played. I know I could become a phenom at this college. And just because of me, I always been an underdog, so I always wanted to beat the, you know, the so-called top-notch people and all that. Like, I've been killing them all my life. They just have names, you know what I'm saying? So it's just all hype, you know, so I wanted to go somewhere where I can play against them, you know, at the highest level and do what I do. So that's why I came to Central Michigan, and I feel like I left a mark.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that you've been, you know, one of the more prolific scorers that Central has seen. I think, what, you were at like 22 a game this past year?
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. That's nice.
Number 3 all the time.
Number 3 all time. Yeah, there's some pros in there too. You know, some good ones. Dan Marley, kind of he's like the first guy you think of when you think of Central Michigan hoops right now. When did you get to top 3? Do you know the game? Do you remember the game?
I don't remember the game. It was toward the middle, toward the conference. It was like in the middle of the conference. If I could have played the last 3, if we'd have made the Cleveland, I could have played 3 or 4 more games. I'd have became the all-time leading scorer in history, but unfortunately, I didn't get there.
Man, well, do you know how short you were of the all-time record?
Yeah, probably about, I think I was like short like 100 points.
Oh, man, that's 3 games for you, possibly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could have got that.
Man. So we talked a little bit earlier. You were saying that of the possibilities for staying local, SMU was possibly your biggest sort of pull, and you actually had a chance to meet with one of the all-time basketball legends. A lot of people out there in Pistons land know the name Larry Brown. He brought the Detroit Pistons the 2004 NBA championship, and he also won a college championship at Kansas. What was it like to meet him and kind of to speak with a living legend?
It was great to meet a legend. I mean, like I said, he played one of my favorite players, Allen Iverson, somebody I looked up to growing up as a kid and I always wanted to be like. So, I mean, meeting him and just knowing the people that he's been around, the people that he coached, I knew he was a legend in my eyes, and I would do anything in the world to play for him.
Is there any specific player, maybe in high school, who you kind of went head-to-head with in AAU or just in general high school basketball, who you consider as a rival?
As a rival? I mean, it's a lot of them. I mean, everybody I went head-to-head with was a rival. I mean, that was back in my killer days where everybody I played against I wanted to kill. So, I mean, Emmanuel Mudiay, Julius Randle, Jordan Mickey played with Boston, Marcus Smart played with Boston, the Harrison twins went to Kentucky. I mean, it's a lot of them, so, I mean, they all respect me, I respect them, and they know a bucket when they see one.
Were they all Texas guys?
Yeah, they are from Texas.
Man, Texas has got a lot of hoopers coming out of there.
Night in and night out, I was going against, All-American night in and night out. Y'all forgot Matt Jones, Keith Frazier, they're All-Americans. So I was going against them every night.
That's crazy. Well, that's a good competition. Definitely good to kind of get you ready for D1 hoops. So, and we talked a little bit earlier, like I said, but you had a chance. You were original scholarship came in from LIU Brooklyn, another D1 program. You ended up choosing CMU over there. Did you have a chance? Is LIU Brooklyn in Brooklyn itself?
Yeah, I don't know. I never went out there. I mean, I had a friend that went to LIU Brooklyn. I chose to not go there.
They traveled a long way to scout you then.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Actually, they offered me. I was playing against another high school. I think it was my junior year. I was playing against another high school, and I had bounced the hoop to myself and caught it and dunked it. They already knew who I was and how I could score, but they didn't know I was that athletic. And that's when they had told my coach they wanted to offer me a full scholarship.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, getting to Central Michigan hoops a little bit here. So, Keno Davis, he was in his second year as head coach when you got to Central. CMU finished that season going 10-21 overall, 3-15 in the MAC. The next season, CMU went 23-9. In your mind, what kind of was the difference between those seasons in terms of going from one of the bottom teams to one of the top teams in the MAC?
I feel like as a coach, I mean, you have to have those type of years. I mean, he had came in brand new assistant coaches. He didn't know, he didn't know where he was going with it. And he knew what he wanted to have. So, I mean, he went out and recruited some good players and some players that fitted the way and the style that he wanted to play. And, so he ended up getting, Chris Fowler was another great guard. He had Kyle Randle that year, too, which was another great guard. Then he ended up getting me the next year. So we had, we had a lot of great guards, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to play a fast-paced tempo team. Back then, like Louisville was with the two little guards that they had over there, so.
Peyton Siva?
Yeah, Peyton Siva and Russ.
Peyton Siva, also a former Piston.
Yeah, he wanted to play like that. So, I mean, that's exactly why. Yeah, that's exactly what
Peyton Siva, they used to call plays for Peyton Siva to get backdoor screens and go for
hoops. Yeah, I always wanted that, but I never got it.
That's a nasty play.
Yeah, and for you, you have hops, too. I mean, I checked out your Instagram, and you have – it's not like – like a lot of like the 6 foot and under guys where they're kind of like just barely kind of getting it over on like a bounce play to themselves. So I think you had like a full on windmill dunk in a recent dunk that you posted on there. So did you ever get to like throw down on anyone in your college career?
No, I tried to as a freshman, but I was too small. They threw me in the crowd to the cheerleaders. So ever since then, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna. I'm just gonna get the floater. I ain't gonna go down there like that. But yeah, I definitely try. But that's something that I'm gonna work on, you know, this off season and just working on my balance. So when I do get hit, instead of me landing on my back, I can land on my feet when I get hit like that in the air.
That makes sense, man. You gotta stand on your feet's huge, you know, kind of definitely helps in preventing any injuries or anything like that. But as I said in the intro of the show, Central Michigan University, you guys are getting a lot of love on SportsCenter. I know I saw that you were on, I think, on SportsCenter too. And then also just kind of a lot of buzz around that backcourt, putting up 50 points per game, leading the all of NCAA Division I basketball. You and Marcus Keene were able to kind of just torch teams for 50 plus. Like, you don't see that in the NBA where a backcourt goes for that much.
Yeah.
Maybe Golden State or Washington, but now we're getting into like the two best backcourts in the whole league. What was it like just to kind of have that rhythm with Marcus, where you two kind of just knew where everyone was going to go and you knew who was going to get buckets at what time? What was that like just to kind of have that type of that rhythm and that type of relationship with your, you know, your teammate in the backcourt?
I mean, it was fun. I can't lie. That was one of the best experiences I ever had. I mean, the crazy thing is everything that we did, we talked about in the summer and nobody believed us. You know, we told people that we was going to do this. You know, we told people that one of us was going to leave the country and score, and the other averaged around 22 points. It ain't like we didn't tell nobody. We told everybody this. We told our coaches this. Everybody listened, but didn't nobody believe us, you know. So that was just something that just put, you know, just put a stamp on our back and just made us say, all right, we really going to go out here and do this every night, night in and night out, no matter what. Even if we do have bad games, we're going to make sure that we have, you know, we're going to have better games the next time. So that's what we did every night. I mean, every team we played against, it was a target that we had to knock down. So that's what we did. We went out there and we just tried to kill everybody.
Had you played with him previously, or did you just develop that chemistry with him last summer?
No, I always played against him. Me and Mark's been playing against each other since middle school. So I've been knowing him forever. Like, we played against each other in middle school. We played against each other in high school. We played against each other in college. So
he's Texas too, right?
Dave San Antonio. So we always been playing against each other our whole life.
Man. I wonder if that was part of Keno Davis's sort of grand mastery of just kind of getting you two together, just knowing that you had that sort of, I don't know, maybe that competitive fire that you could pull out of each other.
Definitely, definitely, because he knew, I mean, in practice, I'm the trash talker, King's a trash talker, you know, stuff like that. You know, we're going to get loud, we're going to get in people's faces, that's just stuff we want to do. We want to push people to be better, you know, we want to push everybody to be better. So two of those guys on the same team, you know, we're going to hit heads sometime, but when we do hit heads, it's for the good, you know.
No, definitely. Yeah,
we definitely pushed each other to be better. We definitely pushed our teammates to be better. You know, we stayed in the gym. That's one thing that, I mean, one thing our teammates can say is that we was always in the gym, and that no matter what, like, with us being in the gym, they had to follow behind us, had to get in the gym too, you know.
Leading by example.
Exactly.
Definitely. So, yeah, let's hit some of these quick hitters. And Joe, let's start at the bottom and kind of get some fresh ones up here. But just want to kind of ask you some, you know, one, two-word answer types of questions. But what is your favorite hoops movie?
Favorite hoops movie? Ooh, probably Coach Carter. Probably Coach Carter. I love that movie. What's another one? Yeah, He Got Game. That's another one. That's a classic. That's a classic.
So which one? Which one you got if you had to pick?
The Coach Carter, He Got Game. Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably Coach Carter, though. Probably Coach Carter, just because He Got Game is so old, you know. So probably Coach Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of them. Sure. Space Jam, ISO, it's a lot of them. I can't even think. It's a lot of them for sure. A Boat and Rim, yeah, that's another one. It's a lot of them.
Any thoughts on, I mean, White Man Can't Jump might be one of my favorites.
That one, too. Forgot all about that. So it's a classic.
Yeah, for sure. Well, great. And so if you were, what's your favorite shoes to hoop in? Like either what company or like what, which one, you know, which edition? Do you have a favorite?
Jordan. I love hooping in Jordans. I was hooping in Jordans, like, you know, all through our high school, middle school, elementary school, you know, since I was born, right, I've been hooping in Jordans. So when I got here, going to Adidas was a big change.
I feel like that's a big change for everyone, because not a lot of people are rocking Adidas when they're playing.
I'm scared of Adidas. I just seen Derrick Rose get hurt a little too much.
Oh, man, that's fair. That is fair, honestly. I've heard some podcasts and I've heard some people talk about that stuff before. So, you know, you never really know. You know, there's so much tech that goes into shoes nowadays that you really got to be careful with that type of stuff. So, moving on to the next question. What is your favorite road arena to play in?
Favorite road arena to play in? Ooh, playing at Western was nice. But playing at Dayton was nice, too, and Illinois. I mean, it's a lot of them, so I really don't really know. But I just know that Western rivalry was different. It was a great atmosphere. I loved it. I love the trash talk. I like the hush-up crowds.
Yeah. Do you like the hush-up crowds?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah, I'm back. I have a question here. Because David and I used to go down to the sack and play some hoops, and every once in a while, the some players from the team would go down and get some runs in. Did you ever play ball at the sack at all?
Yeah, I definitely play ball in the sack.
Nice.
Yeah. Court number one, the first court that you walk in at?
Yep, court number one, the first court, right by the weight room.
Still the main court, right? That's where the hoopers play.
Yep, still the main court.
Yeah, those were good times. It gets physical on that court.
Yeah, it does. I like it.
Yeah,
that,
exactly. It's good. It's good runs.
Yep.
You got it.
Sorry. So, you know, keeping it central, keeping it CMU. Favorite nightlife spot. Period. Best times. Best environment. Best stuff going on.
Wayside, of course. Wayside, just because it's a Tuesday. You know, I mean, when I first got here and people told me I was going out on a Tuesday, I was like, "What y'all mean? I'm going out on a Tuesday?" You got class.
CMU kids love that Tuesday.
Man, they love it, man. Paint Slice is the best night ever. No matter what you're doing, I mean, Tuesday, it's the best night. I mean, I like Encore now. Encore is, I guess, it's newer because I never heard of it till this year. I guess it's newer.
So to paint a picture to people who don't know, who have never been to Central Michigan University, who have never experienced the O'Kelly's Wayside Blender, there's a night there. It's pint night every Tuesday night where I think it's dollar pints for, you know, cheap beer. And, you know, if you get a lot of college kids, like 2,000 college kids hyped up on, you know, pint night after a heavy session of pre-gaming, it gets pretty wild.
It gets wild, definitely.
Things go down.
It's a pretty sloppy scene.
Yeah, definitely. It's, like I said, it's a love-hate relationship.
Joe, what are your thoughts on Wayside? Like, your trigger thoughts, like, right off the bat, what would you say?
I haven't really went back there mentally in many years, so it's kind of a distant blur for me in a lot of ways, to be honest with you. Definitely freshman year, I just don't remember anything, but I'd say fun overall. It was a good time.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah,
then.
They played some good games there. You know, you could catch a game at O'Kelly's, so that was nice.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And, Braylon, album that you have on repeat right now?
Bulletproof by Young Dolph.
Is that the intro to your mixtape?
No, that was Money Man.
Okay.
Yeah, that was called Money Man. But no, that Bulletproof by Young Dolph, that's something I listen to every day.
Okay. Is that kind of like the pre-workout, or are you a player that do you keep the headphones on while you're shooting around and like getting a workout in like that?
I have my headphones in. I only have my headphones on really because our music that we had was awful. I couldn't listen to it. So I had to use
What do they play?
Oh, they play all type of crazy. I couldn't do it. I couldn't listen to that and, you know, and get focused on the game. So I made sure I had bought some beats from the little Apple store. Made sure I had my own little headset.
Yeah, you couldn't really get up to Kesha playing in the background. Like, that's not gonna get the competitive juices flowing.
Yeah, definitely not. It's gonna make me go to sleep. Couldn't be sleepy out there.
Playing the Beatles.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's take it to next steps. You know, the pro game, your next steps. You are signed to Young Money APAA Sports and Entertainment. And, you know, as we've noted, they have a solid roster. A lot of pro football players that just got drafted and signed to pro teams. Basketball players, including yourself, Terrence Ferguson, who a lot of people might know out there. And you mentioned a few other players that they just signed to their roster. Who are those guys that also just signed?
Kadeem Allen from Arizona. He just signed. I don't know the dude name from Syracuse, but he just signed today, actually. And Frank Mason from Kansas.
So you guys are going to be going at it this summer then?
Yeah, definitely going at it. We were just going at it last weekend when I was back home in Dallas. We were just going at it. We was working out while I trained at Tyler Ralph.
Do you play a lot of one-on-one in those workouts?
Yeah, we play a lot of when that's at the end of the workout. We work on different pro stuff first, you know, and we get tired out, and then, you know, competitors like we are, you know, like somebody going to trash talk, and then we're going to end up playing one-on-one.
And are some of these guys that you remember from those high school days, those AAU days too?
Only Terrence Ferguson. He's the only one because, you know, he's a Texas guy. But I think Frank Mason, he's from Virginia. And Kaneem Allen, he's from, I think, North Carolina.
So you guys are all going down to Texas then for the offseason? That's where the hub is going to be for training before the NBA draft?
Yeah, definitely. Young Money is based out of Dallas. So that's where we're going to be at. We got a little house and stuff in Fort Worth. And we got our own training facility in Fort Worth that we're going to be working out at every day.
Are you on, like, a specific nutrition plan, or is that something that...
Yeah, definitely. We got our own chef and things like
that. Oh, wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And I assume every Tuesday you have, like, $10 pints, too, just to kind of get, like, the NBA juices flowing.
No, not shit. Got to wait till after the draft and all these workouts. Can't go to these workouts out of shit.
Do you have any draft plans at this point, or are you just going to hang out with family? Family, friends.
At this moment, I mean, I'm me and my agent are working on it. He's just getting me just workouts for different. That's really how it is right now. And I'm going to get me on the summer league team. Hopefully, I get on the one in Orlando and the one in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man, that's always good ball to watch too.
Yeah, definitely.
They live stream that now too.
Yeah. Hopefully, I get into those.
Absolutely. At this point in time, what aspect of your game do you think will automatically translate to the next level?
Me being able to score the ball and just beat my man one-on-one. Because like I was saying, like in college, you can always beat your man one-on-one, but it's always going to be somebody just sitting right there in the paint, just to help and things like that. Because teams this year, they would rather somebody else beat them than me and Marcus beat them, you know. So that's how they always went about it. So, I mean, the NBA is different because it's a three-second call. It's a defensive 3 seconds, so teams can't just sit in the paint. Bigs can't sit in the paint and just stay there and help the whole game. And other guards, they can't help because, you know, in the NBA, it's great shooters around you. So, I mean, you really can't help too much. You leave somebody wide open, everybody can shoot, so everybody's going to hit that shot wide open. So
I got a quick hitter question real quick. Do you play 2K at all?
Oh, I love 2K. You want to get beat?
Yeah, I would get beat, that's for sure. Who do you run with?
Anybody, really. I mean, I didn't play some fans online and things like that. They didn't call me up.
Okay. We might have to do your handle after this and see if we can get a game in. But you just can't be the guy who's the Warriors on that game, because that's just...
No, I don't need to use the Warriors. I'll let you pick my team. I use the Sixers. I actually like the Sixers on there.
Yeah, I mean, you got Embiid in the... You got some guys on that squad that you can run.
Oh, man, I got Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so... touch on...
I mean...
Yeah, what you got, dude?
I was going to say, just, you know, talking about your game a little bit more, one thing, you were right, you know, it is a lot about what can you do with your man on you. There's not zone defense in the NBA. It just doesn't exist. I mean, every now and then you'll see two possessions or something where they might go to a zone just to kind of mix things up. But if you can, especially the NBA is so pick and roll heavy, you get a switch and you get a big on you. What I've seen you do in just tape from this season and watching live games, the big, if they're switched on to you, is on an island. And it's like, you know, even if you're 3-4 feet behind the 3-point line, they got to know that that's a shot that you can get up and get up with ease, even over their stretched, you know, 6'9" uh-huh. wingspan or what it is. So that's going to be something that's going to be kind of critical, right? Like developing that part of your game and getting that to that pro level, because obviously the tape shows that you can hit it at a consistent basis.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, it was really hard for teams this year. I mean, because, you know, they're nervous to put their big on us because they know what I'm going to do when they put the big on. I'm just going to call out the ISO. But also, they're scared to make the big hedge just because I'm just going to go over it. And then if you don't hedge it and you just let my big screen yours, then I'm just going to, you know, pull up and shoot the three.
On that note, I have a question. This goes for you too, David. In the last 2 days, there were a couple nice crossovers. There was Kyrie against Norman Powell. There was Steph Curry on Rudy Gobert. And then there was Isaiah crossing up Marcus Morris and then hitting the J. Which was the best crossover out of those three?
You got it, Braylon.
You know, I'm gonna stick with Isaiah Thomas. That was deadly. That was real deadly. I mean, I think he looked like me on that one.
I really nice. liked the Kyrie against Norman Powell. Just the fact, like, Norman Powell's a good defender, and his hesitation against him was nasty.
Yeah, Kyrie ball handling it's on a different
level. That's next level.
Yes, yeah, it's on a different level for sure.
I'm gonna go with the Isaiah Thomas one too, just because him and Markieff had been talking smack the whole game, and then it was just like, Isaiah is such a bulldog, and he's such like I don't know, man. He just got the heart of a lion in a certain sense, where it's like, you're gonna keep talking smack. I have 50 points right now, and I mean, at that point he was probably at like 35, but he was still cooking in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, definitely.
That's So you know, I guess you kind of, in a certain sense, you know, we had a chance to kind of briefly talk about this before recording, but when it comes to your game, obviously there's players out there that have been at, you know, a smaller mold under 6 foot that have made serious impressions on this game. And I'm not just talking about Isaiah Thomas. We're still talking about, you know, Kay Felder is still about to get his run. He's still going to be in the pros moving forward. What about, you know, being undersized and the difficulty, but also kind of the benefits that you can do to kind of inflict your will upon a game? Can you kind of just go into that, just the mentality and also some of the, you know, just some of the physicality or the actual shot selection and that kind of stuff with being an undersized guard?
Well, basically, I mean, like I said, like it's always going to be trash talk, you know. When people see you, they're going to laugh. They're probably going to think you sit on the end of the bench. You know, things like that. But when you get out there and you show your skills, like, I mean, a lot of people were scared this year to guard us, you know. A lot of people were scared. Like, I was surprised myself. Like, a lot of people really was, like, asking for help when they got on their island and things like that. It was crazy. Like, people was really, like, you know, grown men was really out there asking for help, you know. So that was crazy to me. So things like that, I mean. But the mentality to go out there to have is just go out there, you know, and just, you know, play like every game's your last. Because you never know. You can have an injury. Anything can happen. So, I mean, really just go out there and just kill. So that's just what I did. I just wanted to go out there and just prove everybody wrong. Everything I do from now on is just proving everybody wrong. So everybody that said I couldn't do something in life, I got to prove them wrong.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. Do you play Daily Fantasy? If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often, it's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just 1 day, and they take only minutes to complete. Join me. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store and it will come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100 when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100. That's ALMIGHTY100. Now back to David and Joey for some Pistons basketball.
Well, that was awesome of Braylon to join the show. Definitely wishing him the best of luck as he prepares for the NBA draft. You know, I'm sure a lot of things are going to be going on for him up until the draft. So good luck, Braylon. Thanks again for coming on. And if you guys want to learn a little bit more about him, you can definitely check out our show notes. We'll have a link to his senior reel, his highlight reel, also his Twitter account and his Instagram. That way you can kind of follow him and, you know, follow him throughout this pro journey. But yeah, we're going to be switching gears now, taking you back to Pistons land. And we want to introduce a new segment with the off season. Every, you know, week or two, there's going to be a few new updates with the Pistons. So this is just a little segment called Pistons News. And Joe, what do we have first on the slate out of Detroit?
Yeah, so as everyone knows, the Pistons are moving to downtown Detroit next year into the beautiful Little Caesars Arena. They just placed a bid for the 2020-2021 All-Star Game. So trying to bring back another All-Star Game to Detroit, which would be awesome. And pretty excited about
when it. When was the last All-Star Game in Detroit? I don't even remember an All-Star Game in Detroit.
There was a string. The Tigers had an All-Star Game. The Lions had a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which is better than the Pro
I remember
Bowl,
the
obviously.
Super Bowl.
That's in Honolulu. And then the, ooh, man, that's a good question. Well, and then there's the Final Four in Detroit when the Tar Heels beat the Michigan State Spartans back in, ooh, I don't know. I believe that was 2008. I actually went to that game. But there was a string of a lot of events in Detroit at one time. Unfortunately, that was during the bankrupt period of Detroit when it was just kind of dismal around the city. So it's nice to see Detroit kind of turn things around and bring an All-Star game back to Detroit when things are picking up. So hopefully they can get that bid. And hopefully we have some All-Stars in that game, a lot of them.
Yeah, kind of bring it back to like the 2004-05 Pistons squad where they had four Detroit Pistons on the All-Star team. And I don't know. I mean, I think the narrative back then was that Tayshaun Prince got snubbed in that game. I don't know if that's necessarily true now. Looking back on it, I was just like, oh man, how are you going to leave Tayshaun off that team? They just don't want to see five Detroit players. And it's like, no, maybe.
You kind of felt that way, but looking at his numbers, I'm sure it just made total sense that he didn't deserve an All-Star.
Yeah, for sure. And looking at, you know, his career, he was just a great, you know, sort of role player, not necessarily an All-Star. But yeah, also,
it was kind of like when, do you remember when the Atlanta Hawks, I believe it was 2 years ago, they were playing really well. Their entire starting lineup won player of the week. It was kind of something similar to that. It's like they play team basketball. Tayshaun Prince is an essential player on this team. His role is huge. He's our defensive stopper. We're the best team in the league. Give that man an All-Star bid.
Yeah, no, I think that's kind of what it was. It kind of was more so like you reward the team, but not necessarily. That's not what the All-Star game's about. It's about awarding individual efforts for winning teams. Yes, usually it's not too often that you see a really, you know, garbage, you know, not necessarily the player, but like a player representing a garbage team. So, yeah, I think young David Fernandez was kind of hurt by that. But looking back at it now, it's like, nah, I mean, that's pretty cool that they got four in at one game. But, yeah, no, you're right, Joe. 2021 All-Star bid game. That would be awesome. I could not imagine being downtown for that. And I feel like that would definitely be something we'd have to fly home for at that point.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully we have a couple years to develop this team and get some players to that point. Hopefully we can see, you know, I don't know, KCP, Andre, and Tobias, or maybe
Hamidou Diallo,
Steven Johnson in that game. True. That's a good point. Yeah, some players to be named later in that All-Star game. Sure. Who knows? But we also have another big story in Pistons land. This is regarding an award. Mr. Tobias Harris is a finalist for the NBA Community Assist Award. It makes a lot of sense if you follow Tobias Harris on any social media outlet, or if you listen to Stan Van Gundy talk about him. He's very religious and spiritual, but the way that is channeled through his work with kids and just generally in the community, you can just tell he's a guy that really cares, and he puts forth a huge effort. And that also reflects on the basketball court with how he accepts his role on the team, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win ball games. So that's really, really cool, and I think he's well-deserved for that award.
For sure, and just kind of some of the notable contributions that he's made to the city. And thanks for the guys over at Piston Powered for compiling a list of all this stuff. But he has started a mentorship program, adopted a bunch of schools in Detroit and Flint, frequently visited those schools and spoke with students about career goals and good character and that type of stuff. He also, and I've noticed this throughout games, you probably have too, Joe, he has a whole section where he's bought season-long ticket package, and then different schools throughout the city just send some of their students there to go, you know, enjoy a Pistons game, you know, 42 nights of the year, or 41 nights of the year. So that's really awesome, you know, and he's been honestly, there's like four or five more things that he's done that have really made a big impact on the city. So if we all recognize that Tobias is an awesome member of the community, if you also recognize that and want to throw him a vote, you can go on Twitter and use the hashtag NBA Community Assist and the hashtag Tobias Harris to vote for Tobias to win that award. He definitely deserves it, and the voting ends at the end of day on Friday, May 5th. So make sure you're out there, make sure you're active, and make sure you're voting for him, just like he's been active and motivating to the city. So, you know, really cool stuff.
David, do you know how that voting works? Is that all fans? Or is there a 50-50 fan / NBA writers vote? How does this work exactly?
I almost positive it's only fan vote. So it's kind of, even if you look at the winners, it's kind of a popularity contest, unfortunately. Like some of the last winners.
But just to get recognized as a finalist, really, I think is what matters.
For sure. No, I think that's really cool and definitely something that he's deserving of. But yeah, it has kind of turned out, like, Russell Westbrook's won, like, 2 or 3 years. Chris Paul's won. Just, like, all these guys that it's like, oh, yeah, they won. So, like, you don't see, I don't know, like, you know.
Jonas Derebka.
Yeah, or Ish Smith, or, you know, anything like that. So,
yeah.
But, no, hopefully Tobias can get a lot of love and, you know, possibly bring this home for Detroit because, you know, while it's not the NBA championship, it is something that it is a really good award to win and speaks highly of him and his character, so.
Especially in Detroit, too.
For sure. With just, and Flint.
I mean, Detroit and Flint with the hard times that they fell on and the impact that they need Detroit stars to have on the community. I mean, I know a lot of the Tigers do that as well. So it's just very cool to see that happen. In other news, we've been watching the playoffs. I'm sure a lot of you have been watching the playoffs. It's been extremely entertaining and interesting across the board. One thing I have noticed, and David has noticed as well, is that there have been a plethora of former Pistons making appearances in this playoff. So we just want to kind of touch on this a little bit. A couple of them have been bounced so far, starting with Greg Monroe and Chris Middleton with the Milwaukee Bucks. They played well in the first round, competed with the Toronto Raptors. Greg Monroe was a player on Stan Van Gundy's team at one point in time. Chris Middleton was prior to that. He was obviously traded with Brandon Knight for Brandon Jennings. But pretty cool to watch them for the Milwaukee Bucks. David, who else did you? I mean, you're out in Boston. There's a couple former Pistons players playing for the Celtics.
Yeah, and when I'm watching, I was watching with my girlfriend the other day, and we're watching the Celtics Wizards game. And at one point, Brandon Jennings, Jonas Jerebko, and Amir Johnson were all on the floor. And I was just, you know, for some reason, I had pride in saying, like, yeah, there's a lot of ex-Pistons on the floor. It's like, no, David, your team's at home watching on the couch. This ain't cool. Like, yeah, they're ex, you know, and they're not like the difference makers. I mean, Amir Johnson starts most of the games in Boston. I don't know. I kind of felt something. I don't even know how to sort of describe what I was feeling in that moment.
when you're watching former Pistons players play, it gives you something to root for because you've rooted for them at some point in time. Like when I watch the Wizards play, I want Brandon Jennings to do extremely well. Jonas Derebko, I've just seen him play so often that I'd like to see him be successful. And I definitely think there's something to that, especially when your team's not in the playoffs and you don't have a lot to root for personally. So I definitely feel you.
Honestly, too, Joe, on that note, like over the past so many seasons, I honestly can't think of a single Piston that has left the organization that I have actually felt, you know, ill will towards or, you know, wanted them to lose in the playoffs or something like that. Everyone leaves on pretty good terms. Lots of times at the, you know, decision making of the general managers, obviously like Brandon Jennings being shipped off to Orlando, Jonas Jerebko, I think they just let him walk. But, you know, you're right, Joe, you really do kind of pull for them because you do remember them playing really hard for your city. So it is cool to see these guys getting some run and you know, playing in really important games in May. You know, that's a honor. Yeah. So.
The one time I can remember players departing on relatively sour terms is after the going to work Pistons, when we started hiring head coaches off the street, and Rip Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince had to play for John Kuster and that head coaching squad, and you know, they left and weren't happy about it. And you know, I think a part of that is the state of the team and how good they are and how good they were used to playing. But also a lot of it is kind of just the disorder within the chain of the organization as well. It wasn't anything too crazy, but there was that mutiny that happened with John Kuster at one point.
But you're right.
When the players,
I mean, on that note though, yeah, it was never, the fans never felt anything towards the players. It was always more so like, why the hell is Rip Hamilton sitting on the bench this whole time and not getting any run when he's under contract? Like, what's going on where the players are feeling this type of way towards the coach, where they're, you know, are having a mutiny against one John Kuster, who never really looked like a model for anyone, let alone, you know, grown men. So, for me, and I'm just kind of speaking like this as a consumer of Detroit Pistons basketball, never really felt that way towards the players themselves. Even when Ben Wallace left for Chicago, yeah, you know, young D-Main was definitely hurt on the inside, but I wasn't, you know, a lot of people had seen that coming, that the Pistons were going to re-sign him. But other than that, you know, nothing really that stands out to me.
Yeah, that day that Ben Wallace left was sad, but the contract that he was offered, I mean, you just can't really blame him for that, and we couldn't necessarily match that at the time. And for those of you who don't know, the D-Main reference is a personal nickname for David, just to put that out there, because you did say D-Main on air, and I just wanted to clarify that.
That's for the people. That's for the world to kind of get that one. You just let that soak in for a minute. And if you feel a certain type of way tomorrow when you're listening to this, or, you know, when you're listening in live on Dash Radio, then just know that that's a good thing. Whatever that is, that sort of tingle that you feel when you hear the term, that's a good thing. So just keep it moving, and you know, you'll be happy with the results.
It's a blanket of optimism. with that in mind, I do want to, I want to talk about an important topic this week. There is a holiday this week, and David and I both chose specific international beers to more or less represent this episode. David, I'm curious what you went with this week.
So this is also kind of like a new segment for the Dog Days of Summer, especially for the 21-plus crowd. Where Joe and I are just going to be going a little bit more into the beverages that we are imbibing and that we are enjoying, embracing it. And just to kind of give you, the consumer of Detroit Pistons content, you might be someone that would also be a consumer of these beverages. So, you know, what's on the slate for me this week, and Joe, as you brought it up, this was international. I went with Negro Modelo, a delicious, it's actually a Dunkel style lager from the Modelo Brewing Company out of Mexico City. And
did you go for the gold or the dark amber Modelo?
I went with
big difference.
I just went with the straight Negro Modelo and the one with the gold.
That one's on me, yeah.
Yeah. Just the Dunkel style. And one thing that people don't know is that there was, I believe, Dutch people Austrian immigrants moved to Mexico in like the early 20th century, and they kind of blended both worlds of, I'm serious. No, they really have. They blended both worlds of like Mexican style lagers and like Dunkel style beers. So it's actually like an Austrian / Mexican beer. Most people, when they see Negro Modelo, they just think it's like a Mexican beer, but it's actually like an Austrian brewing process. And if people out there like enjoy, now it's not a Guinness, it's not a stout, but it has a certain maltiness, but it's still extremely smooth. And it's so refreshing, and it's such an underrated beer that people don't talk about. And it's one of those beers that you can get for like $7 a six pack. It's an awesome beer and one that I highly recommend. Yeah, I can get it for $7, Joe. So I don't know why he's shaking his head on the other side of this, but I can get it for $7. But
it's $10.99 in Chicago. That might be a Chicago thing, though.
I think it might just be this liquor store on our corner. It's like, well, it's like $7.99. Excuse me.
Yeah, you have to take advantage of that.
I am.
I feel like a lot of liquor stores I've encountered on corners, they have one beer that's just heavily discounted, and you just have to find that one beer that's $3 or $4 less than the average going price.
For sure.
I had that when I lived back in Portland. I had a go-to beer, and it was just $3 or $4 less than it should have been at any other supermarket. And no, Negro Modelo is a fantastic beer, and it's a dark beer, but you can drink it on a summer day.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's very unique. It's very unique in that sense. And yes, it's malty, but it's not malty to a sense where it's like, oh my gosh, it just feels like I drank syrup. You know what I mean? It's like very, yeah, it's still really refreshing. But Joe, you have a beer as well that you wanted to talk about.
I do. So yeah, it is Cinco de Mayo this week. Well, it's not this week, but it's on Friday. Correct?
This week, yeah, you're right.
Okay. So I went with a Mexican beer as well. I went to, with a Tecate. A little more modest than Negro Modelo. It's more of a beer that you drink a lot of, and you would put a lime in it, which you wouldn't do with a Negro Modelo, which is fine. I would prefer a Negro Modelo, but it's I would say it's a step up from your average skunky beer. It doesn't have that skunky flavor.
Oh, man, it's so much
it.
Better than that. Tecate with a lime
is
awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. It's better than the skunky beers. Well, let me ask you this. This is an interesting question. Would you rather have a Tecate or Corona?
Tecate. For sure. No doubt.
Really? Okay. Dude, okay. He thinks highly of it.
Here's the thing about Corona, and you might not understand this, or if you don't drink Corona, then you definitely don't. But it's a really refreshing beer if it has a lime in it. If it doesn't, it has a very pungent smell. Not going to get into descriptors, but I don't necessarily enjoy that. And it's like a beer that needs a lime. It like can't not have a lime. A Tecate is a beer where, you know, you don't necessarily need a lime. But one thing I've noticed, Joe, and I don't know if it's the same in Chicago, but anytime that they serve Tecates at bars here in Boston, it's always in a can, and they do give you the lime, but it's that sort of moment where you have to, like, shove a lime through a can, and it just scares me because I don't want to cut my thumb.
No, I agree. I've had those moments as well. And then you kind of awkwardly push it through, and...
it, like, overflows.
There's a lot of room for error.
Yeah, yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't need that. Like, they can't, obviously, the bartender can't push that lime through because
I don't want his thumb in my beer.
But but also, I don't want to hurt myself pushing the lime through. So, that is an interesting point. But yeah, it's a fantastic beer, honestly. I think most of us have had it. I think people should drink it more often than they do. And I'm certainly making an effort to do that. But yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. And Joe, let me get this transition because I have a good one. You know what goes really well with beer, Joe?
Ooh. Video games? Pistons games?
Yeah. There's a lot. All right, well, what goes well with beer is a burger. And in Pistons-related news, we are – just stay with us here. We're still keeping it Pistons. You let me know, Joe, that Halo Burger introduced the Dre Burger, the official Andre Drummond burger. And Joe, can you just hit me with some of those toppings and explain that burger to the people as well?
Yeah, so let's get into this burger a little bit. There's a lot coming at you here. It's not your standard burger. It's got, well, let me start with the basics here. So it's got two juicy all beef, fresh, never frozen patties, which is a fantastic start. Fresh baked sesame seed bun. So that's your foundation. On top of that, we have savory bacon strips, crispy onion ring, grilled pineapple, a raw onion ring, two slices of melted American cheese, and a special mix of Halo sauce and barbecue sauce. David, thoughts?
It to me, right off the bat, it seems like a vertical burger, just the sense that you have two all beef, fresh, never frozen patties. Then you have another, like, ring, which would be a grilled pineapple ring. Then you have the raw onion ring, which I don't like that they have a raw onion ring when they have a crispy onion ring. That's weird. I would just take off the raw onion ring. So now we're getting vertical. And, you know, you would hope that the melted cheese can kind of condense that into, like, a, you know, into something that you can handle. But my first thought of it was like, yeah, it sounds tasty, but at the same time, it seems like it would be messy. And I'm not a big messy burger person.
Oh, really?
No, I like to, like, I don't want to, like, have things falling off and, like, I don't want my hands to get all messy and stuff. Like, I think the bun's super important to kind of, like, get everything in there, but I don't know. I've never had Halo Burger, so I'm admitting something about myself. But I just sense that it'll be messy. So what are your thoughts, Joe?
You can visualize it. I think I have similar thoughts to you. I think you know my standards of eating. I like to mix a lot of things that normally don't go together, and for better or for worse. The one thing that disturbs me a little bit with this burger is the special mix of Halo sauce and barbecue sauce. It's a little bit, I don't know, I don't want part barbecue sauce sweet and tangy with part mayonnaise-y, chipotle-y Halo sauce. And again, I've never had Halo Burger as well, but that combo to me is a little bit too much. Overall, I think I would love to eat this burger. I think you're right with the crispy.
You're hungry right now? Like, I'm getting hungry looking at this, and I think that you are as well.
Yeah. I would certainly eat it. I think the crispy onion ring combo with the raw onion ring combo, I don't know, man. It's a little bit overwhelming.
Question.
So,
Do you think Andre Drummond, like, built this burger? Like, this is his burger? For some reason, this doesn't seem like an Andre Drummond burger for some, I don't know.
My opinion on this is similar to how Nike would build a shoe for a player. They have the shoe designer who consults the player with what he would like to see and what his preferences are and what his game is. I think Halo probably sat down with Andre and say, hey, look, you know, what do you like to eat? You know, how would you describe yourself in a certain way? We're going to try to concoct a burger that will reflect you and your game and just Dre overall. So I think it was kind of a consultant deal. But I think it was probably 20% Dre, 80% Halo, just going ham. So,
what?
I would like to see this at Little Caesars Arena, though. I will say that I would definitely eat it.
What part of this burger is a refusal to pass out of the post?
That's the raw onion ring, because it's unnecessary.
Okay.
You just don't need
it. I agree. Yeah, that's what I would have said as well. No, quick question, just to kind of wrap up your Halo sauce and barbecue sauce dilemma that you have going on here. Let's say that you're having a burger and there's, like, mayo-y kind of stuff at the top that's, like, wiped on the bun. Sorry. And then there's, like, the barbecue sauce at the bottom. So they're, like, they're two worlds away from each other, but they're both on the same burger.
That's a pretty good point.
Would you eat that?
No, I would definitely eat it.
Okay.
I would definitely eat it. I would definitely eat it for sure. I think that's a good point, actually. When you separate the two, they can come together in kind of a divine way. On this note, I would like to, before we move on to our next topic, if we do have time, what is your ideal burger?
Honestly, so I was thinking about this. That was, when I saw that question, I was like, oh man, this dude is really asking me some questions here. Angus patty, for sure. Like, just Angus is better. I would like a sesame seed bun as well, but one that has some, like, you know, substance to it, not just, like, the smaller ones, but, like, a larger one, kind of like a kind of like a, yeah, like a Kaiser almost, but like with sesame seeds. I would like Munster cheese. It's like my favorite cheese. I would also want bacon on there. You know, lettuce. I don't need the tomato. I'm not going to lie. And grilled onions. I already said bacon. And then, like I said, I would like barbecue sauce on one side and some like mayo on the other side. And then also like a pickle or something, like something pickled. Yeah, that's what I would go. It's just something kind of semi-normal. You know, it'll all stay on there. And yourself, Joe?
Yeah, so this is tough because I want a different kind of burger in different circumstances. Sometimes I want a lighter burger. Sometimes I'll just go hard on that burger.
What's a lighter burger? Yeah, on that night. For the people, what's a lighter burger?
Well, lighter burger, you know, it's a patty, some iceberg lettuce, a tomato, and a thin layer of mayo and ketchup. That's what a thin burger is. This is what a heavy burger is. This is what I would, if this was the last burger I was going to ever eat, this is what I would want. Similar to you, I'd want an Angus patty. I would want a nice thick bronze Kaiser bun, and I would also want caramelized onions, Chev, aka goat cheese, bacon, and an egg.
Nice. An egg. Egg is good. Egg is good.
I mean, that's a serious burger. Yeah.
That's the one scenario where I don't mind it being a little messy, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, but that's heavy. That's, you know, upwards of, I don't know, 2,000 calories.
Yeah.
That's not a burger you eat before you're going out on the town.
And for whoever's still listening to this particular episode, when Joe was reading off those ingredients, he was like salivating and smacking his lips. Just listen to it, you'll hear it. I heard it, so you'll hear it. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, fair. I mean, that's what happens when you envision delicious burgers.
That's very true, David.
Should we talk some quick playoffs here?
I mean, do we have two? Let's just talk about one thing, period, because we only have a couple more minutes of time. Isaiah Thomas dropped 53 points, I want to say, against the Wizards, and looked like an absolute superstar, next level NBA, just, I don't know, just something that we've never seen before, obviously, because he's a bit more of an efficient scorer than an Allen Iverson. No diss to Allen Iverson or anything like that. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But Joe, just your thoughts from that game last night. I know we both watched it. Anything that you took away from that?
A couple different things to note. It was his sister's birthday. I didn't know that originally. That's pretty inspiring for starters. Also, I did see there was a Twitter. It wasn't a poll, but it was who would you take 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? They rated different players like LeBron's a 5, Steph Curry's a 5, John Wall's a 4.
Oh, a build your
Thomas,
team.
I believe, is a 4. A build your own team. Yeah. I take Isaiah Thomas over John Wall for sure. And this is the reason why. I haven't watched a lot of either of them, but every single time I watch Isaiah Thomas, he steps up. A lot of times I watch John Wall, he doesn't step up. He just kind of disappears. And that's no shade on John Wall's game, but Isaiah just steps up in big moments. In the fourth quarter, he always comes to play. So I just have so much respect for him as a player. This goes back to Braylon talking about him earlier in the episode. He's just such a fun player to watch, and his will is very inspiring. So yeah, great player. Just rooting for him all the way.
It was one of those games where I watched it and it went to overtime and everything, and I just thought afterwards, was like, oh man, I just saw like an all-time game. Like that's like one that goes to, like, that's an NBA classic right there. Yeah, you're right, Joe, just a hell of an effort. It looks like we are coming close to our time here at Inside the Cylinder. So, you know, thank you everyone for listening into this week's episode. Like we said at the top of the show, or not the top, but, yes, the top of the show, excuse me, 9 a.m. Eastern, on Thursdays on Dash Radio. You can like and subscribe on all the normal channels, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict. We are on Twitter at Inside the Cylinder. And if you don't know by now, that's CYLNDR. I'm David Fernandez, my co-host Joey Mack. Yeah, we'll catch you later.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. And yeah, tweet at us if you have any questions. Hashtag ITC is still a thing.
Hashtag ask ITC. Hashtag ask ITC.
We check hashtag ITC as well. That's just a bit that I'm running, honestly. So yeah, yeah, hit us up on there, and we'd love to have a conversation with all of you guys. Anyways, thanks for tuning in this week, and we'll check you next week.
Peace.